Hi, it's Blythe Ahlberg, and I would like to welcome you to Cut the Fat Podcast. You can visit us at www.cutthefatpodcast.com. And if you're new to us, we suggest that you listen to the first 3 to 5 podcasts for the basic toolbox on fat loss.
All right. Hello, everybody. It's Dr. Ray Heinisch, and I'm joined here with Blythe Ahlberg. Hey, Blythe.
Here I am. Hi. How's it going, Ray?
Always a joy to hear your voice.
Oh, I am so excited to be podcasting again with you and bring an interesting, cool topic podcast to our listeners today. We're going to be talking about tackling meal frequency. I know a lot of people out there are probably have some confusion anyway on whether it's good to go with the 2 or 3 larger meals a day, or if it's better to go with the smaller, more frequent, say 5 to 6 meals a day.
Right. As a matter of fact, even if you don't think you're confused, maybe you will be by the middle of this podcast. Because, you know, Blythe, it's a very common misconception that you can't lose weight or you can't burn fat specifically. Mm-hmm. Unless you're eating 5 to 6 small meals per day. Practically
right.
Every weight loss expert that goes on TV or you hear on the radio says the same thing, 5 to 6 small meals per day. And so we're going to question whether or not that is accurate based on what the research literature suggests. So that's today's topic. How does that sound?
That sounds great. Go ahead. Let's get started.
All right. Well, why don't we start with the rationale, Blythe? Why – or where did this concept of 5 to 6 small meals per day come from?
Okay, well, I know the thought was that going too long between meals will cause your body to enter a starvation mode. While eating every 3 hours and, you know, refeeding your body every few hours will prevent the starvation mode and kick up or speed up your metabolism because you're like in current digestion mode.
Right, and there's this thing called thermic effect of food. That basically means when you're eating food, your metabolism kicks up because you're digesting the food. So it's basically the calories that you're burning just from the process of digestion. And
So your body is using calories to burn what you just ate.
Right. And so the thought process is, number one, if you eat every 3 hours or so, you're going to basically prevent your body from going into a starvation mode, which would then turn down metabolism.
Mm-hmm.
And number two, by eating more often, you're going to kick up metabolism more often because of this thermic effect of food. So it makes good sense to recommend 5 to 6 small meals per day.
And I think that's like the buzz. I mean, that is what everybody was recommending up until recently, where we're starting to hear more about 2 to 3 meals a day is okay. And I think that's where the confusion comes in, because originally the old school of thought was breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Right. And then when the whole diet craze kind of came into the picture, as we were getting more and more overweight, then everybody started coming out and say, well, you know, this is we're not eating enough. We're not eating often enough to keep the metabolism burning. So let's talk about first research in support of this 4 to 6 small meal concept. And I'll point out that in general, looking at this total topic of meal frequency, the research is sparse. There is not a lot of good evidence. Basically, the recommendations that we're hearing from people are coming based on, well, they're based on a couple of things. They're based on, number one, logic, which we've already talked about the logic. And number two, a lot of this is probably coming from the bodybuilding world, an area which you know a lot about.
And yes.
So the question is, even if it is true for bodybuilders that 4 to 6 meals per day is ideal, is it true for people who are just weekend warriors or people who are just looking to lose weight? And that's something we're also going to tackle in today's podcast.
Okay. I'm ready.
All right. So let's talk in support of 4 to 6 small meals. So let me tell you what I found when I did a research literature search for this topic. Most of the research that has been done and has claimed support for this concept of 4 to 6 small meals per day has been done in what we call observational studies, rather than what we want to see, which is intervention studies. Mm-hmm. In other words, researchers looked at the habits of lean folks and compared them to the habits of obese and overweight folks, and then drew what we call a causative conclusion. And what that means is that they said, well, because people who are lean eat more often, then that must be the best approach for everybody. In reality, though, people who eat 3 meals and let's say 2 to 3 snacks daily actually do have a tendency to be leaner. But there may be a problem with assuming that that is actually a causative effect.
Right. It's sort of like which came first, the chicken or the egg type thought. So right. Is it the lean people that hear that it's better to eat 6 small meals a day, so they shift into that way of eating to continue to stay lean? Or is that what got them lean in the first place? That's the big question.
Right. And based on observational research, we can't really draw a conclusion. Right. So what does this mean? Well, people who are naturally health conscious, people, let's say if we're looking at a bunch of lean and healthy folks and comparing it to overweight and obese folks, then because the current paradigm is 5 to 6 small meals per day is healthy, then health-conscious people will have a tendency to perceive that as the way to eat. So right. This means that they eat 5 to 6 small meals a day because they're health-minded people rather than they're lean and healthy because they eat 5 to 6 small meals.
Right.
Does that make sense? Is that confusing?
No, that totally makes sense. So when you were talking earlier about, well, the reason these lean folks must be lean, so it's all based on assumption. I did the same thing when I was looking up information on, you know, which one was recommended more often, you know, the mm-hmm. 2 to 3 meals or the 5 to 6 meals a day. I found the same thing, that everything was pretty much inconclusive or based on an assumption. Right. So I don't think that's confusing at all, but I think it draws a huge red flag and that we should delve a little deeper into this.
Right. And I like to say that weight loss is an ugly science. So it's easy to basically look at a concept and think of how it is logical and then assume that because it's logical, it's correct. But that's right. Not often the case when it comes to weight loss, because weight loss is an ugly science. We can take 100 people and do the exact same thing, make the exact same change, and mm-hmm. see 100 different weight loss results. Some people Absolutely. Would lose weight. Some people would stay the same. Some people may even put weight on. Mm-hmm. So it's an ugly science. So we just got to be really careful about making conclusions based on observation.
Right. And that's why we always preach, become the expert on yourself.
Right. And, you know, I also point out that a lot of this research, they relied on people to report. It's called self-reporting of food intake. Mm-hmm. They relied on people to report on what they ate. And although food reporting has been studied itself and has found to be inaccurate in practically everyone who they've tested, it's even more inaccurate in overweight and obese folks. Mm. Have you noticed that in your practice when you're talking to clients and they say, yeah, eat a healthy meal, and then you actually get them to write down exactly what they had to, you know, today, for example?
Yeah. I find that with every person who's new to logging food, I specifically have come full circle and said, anything that passes your lips must be written down. That includes all of your drinks, all of the water intake. I mean, it sounds like I'm slave driving, but really, so you don't underreport, we need to write down everything that passes your lips. And then from there, we can cross out the things we don't need.
Right. And when you're writing things down, also, I've noticed this a lot as well. When they're new to kind of a food diary, they write down, well, I had about this much, you know, mm-hmm. they use terminology mm-hmm. like I had about a cereal bowl's worth.
Mm-hmm. You know? Or people say, just write chicken.
Yeah.
And you're wondering, is it fried chicken? Was it drive-through chicken fingers? Was it baked chicken?
Just a normal sized piece of chicken.
Just a normal. Right. So we need to rely on these people being specific.
Right.
And that doesn't happen in these dietary research circles.
So you did an interesting chart or table, which, you know, I'll try to put up on the website as well. But it was basically a breakdown of the pros and cons of eating 4 to 6 small meals versus 3 meals a day. What were the pros of eating 4 to 6 small meals that you discovered?
Well, some of the pros were less hunger. So you feel hungry less often. You know your next meal is coming soon. And I think we're able to not so much graze, but you know that you're not far from your next meal. So you mm-hmm. tend to feel less hungry. And also because you're feeding your body frequently, you just get less hunger pangs. I think there's more variety in your diet. What are a couple of other ones I put on there?
You said less energy loss, so people are less yes. lethargic.
Yes, less lethargic, like the next day. Well, I think most of us can relate to, say you eat a big bowl of ice cream before you go to bed on Sunday night, and Monday morning you wake up lethargic, and then you eat a big breakfast on top of that, and then you don't go with anything until 1 or 2 o'clock in the afternoon. You're going to feel lethargic all day from having all that heavy food in your stomach, even if you don't have the big bowl of ice cream the night before. I was trying to calculate the worst case scenario, wake up with a carb hangover and then feed your body a large meal. Right. Eating a light, healthy breakfast often keeps you kind of light on your toes. You know, you feel like moving early in the day.
Right. And so, and it's, you know, it's oftentimes just easier to find small things to eat throughout the day than it is to find big things sometimes when you're out and about. So, but unfortunately there are traps to that as well. And maybe we'll talk a little bit about that a little bit later on.
Yes,
right, but those
yes.
are some good pros. Those are some things in support of it. And unfortunately, even the research, the intervention research that we'll talk about, it kind of doesn't – it isn't a real-world circumstance. And I'll explain that here as we kind of get into the discussion. But those things that you listed are real-world observations of what people report when they are eating 4 to 6 small meals. And that doesn't mean that you can't have all of those same pros from – eating three meals a day. It just means that there have some things have to be true in order for that to be the case. And what I found is that most of the time when people are eating, let's say, 3 meals a day, they're not doing it in an appropriate way. And because of that,
right.
they don't get the benefits.
Right.
Okay.
And I think that's an important thing to mention.
Okay. So
go ahead.
No. Did you have anything else to add on that, on the topic of in support of 4 to 6 meals?
No, I'm ready to dive into the next one.
The reality is, it sounds like that's fairly sparse as far as the research is concerned, but that's because it is. There really isn't a lot of research in support of 4 to 6 small meals. In fact, the majority of the better research goes against the idea of 4 to 6
yes.
small meals making an impact. Okay, so let's talk about what research there is to show that there is not an advantage to 4 to 6 small meals per day. And I will point out, Blythe, that I don't think there's any research that suggests 4 to 6 small meals is harmful to the metabolism, but it just doesn't seem to be advantageous.
Well, I think the only case that it would be maybe not harmful to the metabolism, but eating that often, people tend to eat more calories. And I think that was the big concern about people eating more often is
right.
that you're, you know, because we're not logging accurately, then you tend to overeat at each of these meals, you know, then the end of the day, your total caloric intake is higher than it would be if you just had the 3 meals.
Right. And so in the research that shows 4 to 6 small meals is not really advantageous, the way they designed that research was basically they would give people a set number of calories. Mm-hmm. And in most of the research, it was like liquid calories, okay? They gave them a set number of calories and then just basically divided it into few meals
mm-hmm.
or many meals, okay? So the first study, it was a study that was done on overweight women, and they gave them a 1,200-calorie liquid diet. One group was split into 2 meals per day, while the other group received 3 to 5 meals with that 1,200-calorie liquid diet.
Okay.
So mm-hmm. at the end of the study, there was virtually no difference in metabolism and fat loss. Now, that's a study that really kept the caloric intake to a set number. Okay. This research was then confirmed by another study that was done in boxers. And once again, the body composition wasn't significantly different. I will point out that the group that consumed the food fewer times throughout the day, did lose a little bit more muscle. But I don't know how significant it was, and that may have to do more with the fact that the protein intake was fairly low, especially for such an active population.
Yes, yeah. I would guess that's probably it.
So researchers set out to see if eating twice a day would impact the metabolism compared to eating seven times a day. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the study, they found there was no difference in metabolism or calories burned over a 24-hour period. And that was some very interesting research where they had people in a calorimeter where they could evaluate how many calories that they were burning. So in the end, metabolism in calories burned over a 24-hour period was basically no different whether the food was eaten twice a day or seven times a day.
Interesting. Okay.
Yep. So no harm, no foul, but the problem, I think, the harm and the foul is in the assumption that the only way to successfully burn fat is to eat 4 to 6 meals per day. That doesn't necessarily fit within the microculture of people's lives. And that's where I think the harm comes, is if you're going into it with the assumption that that's the only way to burn fat. And the research suggests that in the end, it likely doesn't matter much.
Okay? And that's a great point, because I think that's where a lot of people get stuck. So how can people listening to this apply this to their lives today? Say it's somebody that's been totally strict on eating 4 to 7 meals a day, and they think that that's the only way. Should they shift back to eating 3 meals a day? What would you suggest?
Sure. Well, first we have to tackle the question as to whether or not we should be on an eating schedule. And the research is pretty clear that you should be on an eating schedule. You should have yourself on an eating schedule rather than just letting the environment dictate when you eat, okay? Research published in the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition suggests that eating on a schedule may actually result in improved insulin sensitivity, lower cholesterol, increased post-meal energy expenditure, improved fat metabolism, and less total insulin being produced in a day when compared to the people who were eating in an irregular fashion. So they would just basically eat sporadically throughout the day. So there does appear to be a benefit to being on a schedule. So the question is, what should the schedule be, right?
Okay. Well, I guess being on a schedule, you would have to look at maybe what you do for work. If you prepare meals for your family and they eat differently than you, say you're somebody, let's just take me for example, somebody who I try to eat snacks between meals. So I'm a like 5 meal a day type person. That fits my schedule perfectly. I get hungry at 10:30, halfway between breakfast and lunch every day. That suits me, but the rest of my family is on a 3 meal a day schedule because I prepare food for my children. And they're on a schedule to feel like eating dinner at 6 p.m. And I think that being on a regular pattern, like you said, as long as it suits your lifestyle, looking at what you do for work, what maybe you're a student, as long as it fits your lifestyle, it's okay, whether it's 4 to 5 meals a day or maybe you're eating only 3.
Right. And we know that.
So we have to do like a little life assessment and find what will fit with your schedule first.
So the question is there a biochemical advantage to eating a particular way? And then does the biochemical advantage or does that fit within the microculture of your life? Both, you got to have a biochemical plus and a cultural plus in order for it to be successfully implemented into your habit schedule. So being on a schedule actually trains your brain to when to expect food. Have you found that yourself and in your clients?
Yes, absolutely.
So if you get hungry at, let's say, like if you eat at 2 p.m. every day, then your brain's natural hunger patterns will develop then. So you won't be snacking in between if you set the perfect schedule, right?
Right. And I'm actually, just like you said, at that time, I always feel hungry. It's almost like my brain is triggering my body. Okay, it's time to eat. And if I'm not already eating, it will send the hunger pangs. And then I know it's time to eat. I'm being signaled.
Right. Mm-hmm. And according to this research that's looking specifically at an eating schedule, there is actually a metabolic advantage to being on an eating schedule. Okay. So it's not that eating multiple times throughout the day is what provides the benefit. It's the actual
schedule.
Right. So whether it's 3 meals a day or 6 meals a day, the only rule that we need to get the metabolic advantage there is that it be scheduled into your brain, right?
Okay, yeah.
All right, so that's a cool little golden nugget,
if you will. That's definitely a golden nugget. Cool.
So let's tackle this question as to whether or not eating less frequently does or does not lead to the starvation response.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, I know that your body's hormonal changes don't actually occur or aren't actually triggered in a starvation response until like 3 days, isn't it? I mean, there's a significant amount of time that needs to pass before your body decides, wow, I'm starving.
Absolutely. And it doesn't happen in 3 hours like a lot of weight loss experts claim. Mm-hmm. They say basically, Blythe, that if you don't eat every 3 hours, that your body is going to go at 3 hours and 1 minute, it's going to go into a starvation response. And that just is not accurate.
I think we're confused about this, and that's why our ears perk up when we hear something like that, because it sounds like new information, but the issue with that is that it's just not accurate. Okay, so how long, say you start feeling hungry, and you know sometimes that hunger pain goes away, and then all of a sudden you don't feel hungry anymore.
Right.
What is that? Is that a hormonal change happening in your body?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay.
Just like, you know, and I'm not sure that we have an explanation as to why that happens, but it's just like sleep. Like when you get the urge to sleep and you resist that urge to sleep, a lot of people will end up not being able to sleep if they resist that urge too long because you've missed the window of opportunity.
Okay, I understand.
So there does appear to be a natural shift that occurs, and part of that has to do with if you're on a schedule. Like if you're eating on a schedule and you skip that meal, then those hunger pangs may not last forever. You may find that the body will skip that, and then at your next normally scheduled meal, the hunger will return. So that may be what's going on there.
Okay,
but you know the point is that it does take about 3 days, 72 hours, for the body to basically decide to send the body into starvation mode.
Okay.
So, you know, the 3 hours won't do it. Now, how do we use that? Well, unfortunately, if you're already coming from a state of dieting, then your body has been in starvation mode probably for weeks or months.
Mm-hmm.
So that for those people, maybe it is a good plan to get on every 5 to 6 hours until the body realizes that food is not scarce, you know?
Right, and that way you can rely on the signals when they come. You can reestablish a schedule,
right? And then as you kind of settle into your life, and you've convinced the body that you're not living in a world where you're surrounded by famine, maybe you can start to ask yourself, well, does this now fit within the microculture of my life? Is it easy enough for me to eat 5 to 6 smaller meals per day, or do I feel better eating 3 or 4 meals per day?
Mm-hmm. And I think everybody, you know, just like we always say, everybody's an individual, and you'll have to find what works for you.
Right. Now, I'd love to hear your thoughts, because this probably doesn't apply to people who are bodybuilders and fit and really highly active people. Okay. So if you're exercising, if you're doing 2-a-day workouts, right? Your body requires a lot more nutrition than somebody who isn't doing 2-a-day workouts.
Right.
So if you're a bodybuilder preparing for a competition, I imagine that you'll get better results if you're eating more throughout the day, because you're not necessarily going to be able to eat 1,000 calories in a sitting.
Right. And I think that's the general rule for bodybuilders / fitness competitors. But here's the interesting thing. I think it could be done by having 3 meals a day, but because most people who are getting ready for a competition are doing 2-a-day workouts, you reach a point where you feel like you need to constantly refuel because you're burning calories at such a high level. I mean, you really get to this point where you just tune in and your body is warmer than normal. You're constantly moving. When you sleep, you're out like a light. You're constantly refueling because your body is telling you to, not because you feel hungry, but you've already established that schedule and now you're just in it and it's in full swing, full effect. I think that's what happens.
Well, this is a good time to jump a little bit ahead from the outline and go to the goal section of it. So, okay. You know, we're talking about how to apply this, right? So the first thing to apply is the number one, get on the schedule. The second thing that we want to apply is we want to make sure that our body is not feeling like it's starved. Right. And so that's what we just discussed. If you have been dieting, then that is basically starvation to the body. So you want to eat more food, not necessarily more calories. Eat more food, not necessarily more calories. So that's number two. So let's jump to the third way to apply this. As to how do I determine whether I should eat 3 to 4 meals a day or 5 to 6 meals a day? And that might have to do with the goal that we have. If your goal is to build muscle and you're less interested in fat loss, then eating more often could be beneficial because every time you eat, you're going to spark some insulin production, and insulin is anabolic. So that helps to build muscle. And if your goal is fat loss, then you may need to give the body time to burn the stored fat, which may occur better with fewer meals so that you have this space in between where your body can access the stored material and burn it away.
Right. The goal is going to be to keep your body in fat storing mode, not worry about fat storage. I'm sorry, fat burning mode. You want to keep your body in that fat burning mode as often as possible.
Right. So, you know, this brings us to the next question, which we didn't really tackle yet, and that is, does eating fewer times throughout the day cause us to burn our muscle, which is another thing that a lot of people are saying. If you don't eat 5 to 6 meals a day, you're going to burn away your muscle rather than your fat.
And that's the huge belief in the bodybuilding society.
Right.
That's, you know, your body goes into starvation mode after 3 hours is what the belief is.
And it may be true in the bodybuilding group because they are working out and often, and they're exercising a lot, and they're lifting heavy weights, and they're damaging the muscle. And the first thing that happens when you damage the muscle is a catabolism. Your body goes in and wants to eat up the damaged muscle to make room for new, strong, pliable muscle fibers, right? That's why the muscles grow stronger. It's because the body broke down some of the muscle. The body went in, got rid of that muscle, and filled it with new, stronger, bigger muscle.
Yep.
Okay? So, but the short answer for the majority of us, if you're not a bodybuilder, if you're not a professional athlete, or if you're not really extremely active with all kinds of other things like marathon running and, you know, things like that, then the simple answer is no. You're not going to burn muscle simply by eating fewer times throughout the day. You will burn muscle if you don't eat enough food, but the number of times that you consume it throughout the day doesn't really matter.
Okay.
Okay. What's the other thing, Blythe, that we're missing if we're talking about protecting the muscle?
Getting in the protein, branched chain amino acids to rebuild the muscle.
Right, right. And I, you know, that's where I think a lot of people go wrong is if you're eating if you're eating often enough throughout the day and you're getting enough food, if you're missing the sufficient quantity of protein, then that's when your muscle's going to basically beginning to erode away.
Right. And we don't want that to happen.
Right. And that brings us to another myth, which is that you can only absorb 20 to 30 grams of protein at a time. We may have said that in the past. Mm-hmm. It's generally a good rule to get a minimum of 20 to 30 grams of protein, but the body's pretty efficient at absorbing protein. And I know bodybuilders and fitness athletes consume far more than 20 to 30 grams at a sitting.
Yeah, between 40 and 50, and that's for women.
Right. Wow. Mm-hmm. That's per serving?
Per serving. Yeah. I mean, I've been known to eat 5 meals of 40 grams of protein at each meal. And it's a lot of protein, and I don't do that all the time. That's only during, you know, preparation time.
Right. And you're a little thing too. So, have you suffered any kind of negative consequences from eating all that extra protein?
The answer is no. And I don't want to give too much information here, but I find, and I think we're all adults here listening, I hope, I find that when I eat that much protein and I'm as active as I am doing the double workouts during the day, I don't go to the bathroom as often as if I do that and I'm not as active. So I can plainly see that I'm actually using the calories, using up the food I'm eating. So I bump up my protein and total caloric intake if I rarely go to the bathroom because my body is using up all of that. Now, I tend to eat a ton of fiber, so I know that I'm not getting plugged up.
Right.
I do that on purpose when I bump up my protein intake. It's important to eat all those veggies. But if I were to do that, say today, and I'm not in competition mode, I would just be so full, I couldn't fit that in. But I was actually hungry for that amount of food and felt that my body was using it.
Right. And so that just points to the fact that protein needs likely change depending upon your activity level.
Absolutely.
So if you're more active, especially with resistance training or workouts that damage muscle, then you should be eating more and more protein. Yeah, we'll dedicate, Blythe, we should dedicate a whole podcast on the discussion of protein. We may have already done that, but we should probably revisit it here in the future with updated information.
Yeah, I've got a little challenge for our listeners. For all of you out there who say you do like a leg workout or you do something that uses your legs in resistance training, say you do 5 sets of walking lunges across your living room one day. Notice the following day when your legs are sore, do you feel hungrier? I think whenever you do a large muscle, and I say legs because they're half your body, you could do a big back workout if you wanted to because the back consists of a lot of large muscles too. But I find that after a leg workout, the following day, my body is actually asking for more calories, more protein, and I find that I am actually hungry for those things. So that's just a level of awareness to have for those of you out there next time who do a heavy-duty workout, and pay attention the next day how you feel.
Absolutely. And so, you know, just simple guidelines. It's probably better to eat more protein than less. Your body has the ability to get rid of any excess, unless you've got some sort of kidney dysfunction, at which time you got to speak with a physician about that. But
Absolutely. In
general, if you're healthy, overdoing it with a little bit extra protein is probably more beneficial than it is harmful. And if you're having trouble getting your protein, well, then that's when you want to go to a protein shake, specifically before or after your workout or both. Mm-hmm.
Right. You can supplement the amount of protein you get in with that. It's still important to eat. And we always talk about this too. It's important to get everything or as much as you can from whole foods. But a lot of people do find it hard to get all the protein that they need just through the food. So those shakes come in handy.
Absolutely. And so, you know, when we're choosing meal frequency, we talked about your goal. So if your goal is to burn fat, you might want to consider that in there and maybe eat fewer meals in order to allow your body to access that fat store. Just make sure you're getting enough food when you do consume those fewer meals. So as the meal frequency goes down, total meal food quantity should go up. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily food calorie content, but food quantity should go up.
Yes.
Right. So, and then you want to consider your level of activity as well. If you expend a tremendous amount of energy, although the digestive tract is very efficient at absorbing nutrition from food, it you will reach a point if you're expending tremendous amounts of energy where you won't be able to fit it all in 3 meals, right?
Right. You may have to spread it out and maybe just add one extra meal.
Right. It doesn't have to be 5 or 6 meals per day. It could be mm-hmm. 4. You just got to base it on your level of activity.
Yeah. And, you know, some people out there might be wondering, does a protein shake count as a meal? Well, the answer to that is it can. A lot of times I'll have a protein shake after my workout, but before I go home for dinner. So that would be I would count that as a 6th meal if I were logging my food.
Right. Mm-hmm. Very good. If your activity is very, very limited due to mm-hmm. some sort of injury, you should probably start with the assumption that you need fewer meals, as I believe this will allow the body to access the stored calories as well. Because if you mm-hmm. can't be active, then I think the fewer meal approach will allow your body the time it needs to get into the fat stores and burn some of that. So that right, may so be another way that you assess things.
I think so too. Going the longer amount of hours between meals so your body dips into those fat stores.
Right. The next one is convenience. You know, I believe a proper fat loss program respects both the biochemical compatibility and the cultural compatibility of a particular action step, which we talked about a little bit earlier. So meal frequency appears to have very little effect on biochemistry, but may have a significant impact on the culture of your life. Like for you, Blythe, Five to six meals a day works wonderfully. I've had people successfully burn fat on three meals a day as well. You've got to take into account what fits your life better.
That's right, because you'll go through with it. You'll follow through.
Right. If you feel like three meals fits better, then go for that approach. Well, I mean, what's the harm? Based on the evidence, it's not going to do any harm.
Right.
And then finally, the what we call the HEC response, the HEC response, hunger, energy, cravings. All right. So talk about that a bit, Blythe, because you did mention – you did talk a lot about that in your table and chart.
Yes. Well, most of the research that looked at the meal frequency focused on the impact on the metabolism and the fat loss, but they really didn't determine the impact on your hunger. It's important to be able to rely on your hunger signals that are coming from your body. And if you're somebody who's stuck to 4 to 6 meals a day because that's what you thought you had to do, you may just go back to relying on the signals you get from your body, and it may only be telling you to eat 3 times a day. And that may work best for you. If not, you can reprogram yourself. Like we just said, you know, by eating more frequently, you may change your schedule the other way. If that works better for you, you can train your brain to want to do that or reschedule your brain. It's important to evaluate how the meal frequency impacts your hunger, your energy, and your cravings, which is what you said, the HEC rule. If you feel like you're too busy to be eating 6 times a day, well, then, you know, doing the 3 meals a day may be for you. So you're going to have to sit back and evaluate your life and figure out what works best in your life.
Right. Just don't assume that because everybody out there says 5 to 6 small meals is the way to go, that that's the appropriate way to go. You've got to really gauge it on how it fits your life, whether or not you're suffering. Like, for example, if you listen to this podcast and you say, okay, I'm going to go out and I'm going to do 3 meals per day, and you do that, and then all of a sudden you have horrible hunger, your energy levels are through the floor, and you're craving all kinds of foods, well, guess what? Perhaps.
That's probably not for you.
Exactly. Right. This is where the kata rule comes in. Commit to a particular strategy. Let's say 3 meals a day per for your eating schedule. Assess the results, meaning how's my hunger? How's my energy? How's my cravings? Tweak it. Okay, 3 meals didn't work. Let me try 4. And then assess it again.
And there you have it. I mean, really, you've got to figure out what works best for you. So not that we don't want to listen to the people who are recommending these things, but really there's not a lot of research backing up that one is better than the other. So it's sort of like a lightning, refreshing podcast because there is no one set way on how to do it.
Right. You now have options. And that was kind of our point is now you get to choose how many meals a day you have based on how it fits the culture of your life. You don't have to force fit something like that into your lifestyle just because people say that.
Right. Now, some of the upsides to having 3 meals a day. Can I list some of the pros that I had for that?
Yeah, give us the pros and cons.
Yeah. One of the pros that I thought for the 3 meals a day is a little less meal prep. I find myself, and I know that it's probably exhausting to some people, but I find myself when I eat 5 or 6 meals a day, I'm eating something different at each meal, which requires more meal preparation or more variety of meal preparation. If I'm eating 3 meals a day, well, I'm going to make the same thing for my kids and myself. And it's only 3 meals. There's less to take with me when I go out of the house. If I eat a fairly large breakfast, I can leave the house until lunchtime. So I'm only bringing my lunch meal with me. I'm usually home for dinner. So it's a little less invasive on your life that way. Also, it requires less, if I'm carrying a cooler, it's just a little less stress having only the 3 meals, because I think most of us grew up making time for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. So that's sort of something that's already been established.
The big thing is, what are you eating for breakfast, lunch, and dinner if you're doing that? That's the most important question to ask.
Right. Well, you've got to figure out how many calories you can get away with eating during the day. Get away with, I mean, either A, depending on what your goal is, maintaining the weight you're at, how many calories are you eating and able to maintain without gaining? Or B, if you're looking to increase muscle and lose fat, well, you want to make sure the ratio of foods that you're getting is appropriate for that goal.
Right. So it doesn't have to be calorie counting per se. It can just be quantity of food that gives you the results. So if you're eating a lot of good, healthy, raw foods, if you're eating kind of paleo, then you really don't have to be counting calories. You just got to make sure you get enough food rather than too little. That's the big factor.
That's right. And I find that personally, and I think most people would agree with me, that if I am eating more paleo, which I'm about 75%, that food is so much more filling anyway that I tend to be able to go longer between meals.
Right. The body has to work at the digestion of that too. So it's not like white bread that the body can digest and absorb in a 30-minute period. It may take 2 hours for you to fully absorb, digest and absorb a full protein meal, you know, full paleo, you know, meal full of vegetables, fruits, nuts, meat, and eggs.
Okay. And let's see, did I have some cons on there? What were the cons of my three?
Well, you know, for cons of eating 5 to 6 meals per day, you said you may eat too many calories. And I think that's a big problem for a lot of people.
Well, if you grab a handful of nuts and then you kind of get carried away, you start talking on the phone or doing something else. Yes, you can easily get carried away by eating too many calories at that said meal.
You mentioned preparation of the meals. With constant food in your belly, you may never feel like exercising. That's a big factor, too.
Yeah, I find that for me. Do you ever feel like that, Ray? You just don't feel like exercising on a full stomach? It reminded me of the old wives' tale of you're not supposed to swim without waiting an hour.
Right.
I know that you probably don't feel like exercising on a full belly. There's nobody that says you can't.
Right. And that's more of a scheduling issue for me. But there are days when I will miss my meal timing and I'll eat later. And then when it's time to close up and go to the gym, my stomach's filled and I'm like, I can't work out like this. Have problems. So you also mentioned more food choices to make and you already talked about that. And then the cons of 3 meals a day, you wrote rushing in a big meal.
Yes, trying to fit in. Well, okay, I know for me, and I think most people, again, out there could agree with me, that in the morning, trying to get out the door and get all my kids to school and everything, it's hard for me to sit down and eat a 600-calorie breakfast. Now, I'm fairly crafty, and I made this great, yummy paleo banana bread that I actually put the recipe on the Facebook page, if you guys want to look at that on our Cut the Fat Facebook page. It's very, very filling. It is higher in calories, and I did that on purpose to try to fit in a larger meal or more calories at breakfast. But it is tough to sit down and eat, you know, 600 calories at breakfast.
Right. Well, but important to do so, important to get sufficient calories at breakfast. And then as the day goes on, you know, get fewer and fewer calories, you know, not necessarily food, because oftentimes if we're eating properly, as we eat more food, the calories have a tendency to go down. If we're eating improperly, if we're going towards refined foods, then the more food you eat, the more calories you get.
So a high volume of food.
Right.
Okay.
All right. So that's pretty much all the cons and the pros and cons of eating 5 to 6 meals per day versus 3 meals a day. I hope that gives people some direction.
Yeah. Well, maybe a little bit of freedom too.
Yeah. And that's what we're all about.
Absolutely. Well, that was a great podcast, Ray.
All right, awesome. So why don't you give everybody the details as to how they can find out more information, get involved with the Cut the Fat community and so forth.
Okay, guys, you can find us on Facebook, Cut the Fat Podcast. It's one long word. Just search in the search box and up we will pop. We'd love to have you as a member of the community. Don't forget to like the page. Also, if you get a chance, go on iTunes. We would love to have your ratings. I know Ray and I both like to go on there and read the input that you guys have. Thank you all for always sharing your things with us on the Facebook page. We've got some people who put some great things up too. Recipes and great questions. It's full of information. Also, you can find recipes. We've got a blog. You can find our podcast, all that stuff on cutthefatpodcast.com. And keep your eyes open for the world's greatest weight loss system. Ray and I have got a little program together. Ray, do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, you know, we're it's currently at the time that we're publishing this podcast, we've closed it down, but the website is there. It's worldsgreatestweightlosssystem.com. And, you know, you can check that out, read some information about it. We're going to be opening it up again, and we'll open it multiple times throughout the year, because we like to, you know, to get in there and get a group of people so that they can kind of go through the process together. We find that's so helpful to have a group of people who are there with you during the process. So,
and it's a great community, just like our Fat Cutters on Cut the Fat podcast.
Oh, yeah. All right, guys. Well, thank you for tuning in. We're going to leave you with the Grilled Lincolns. The song is Something New. Check them out on iTunes, Rhapsody, and on their website, grilledlincolns.com. And as always, it's a pleasure, and we'll see you at the next podcast.
Until the next podcast. Bye.
Bye.
Forget your shoes, just wear your flip-flops in the snow. It's hard to really care.